Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Hello, and hope you had a great weekend. We did. Nathan and I did, and we're going to start off the week in style because guess what? Training camp starts Saturday, 6 days away.
Yes! I can't wait. It's finally time, Notorious.
It feels like it. You and I were just out on the field kind of checking it out while doing some video for ClevelandBrowns.com.
It looks good.
Positional preview stuff that we highly encourage you to check out when it's posted on the website. Field's looking ready. We're ready. Let's hope you're ready. Today we're going to preview, and this is our Ohio Business Machines Hot Topics of the Day. We're going to preview the offensive line position. We did quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends last week. So as we continue our positional previews heading into camp, today we're going to look at the offensive line. We'll dive into that, not only the starters, but obviously the backup possibilities. Gerard Cherry is going to join us at 2:30, his usual Monday spot with us, the three questions with the three-time Super Bowl champion, and Matt Fontana efforting some other elements that we're going to add to the show. But the biggest, of course, is working with you, the listener, 216- dial us up, 578-0850, 216-578-0850, weighing in on your thoughts as this Browns team heads closer and closer to training camp, and tweet us at Browns_daily.
No doubt about it. A notorious today, a special day for me, as today is the first day of my new job, full-time with the Cleveland Browns, so no more vacations. We're rocking and rolling for the rest of 2014 and beyond, and I am thrilled to be here. Came in early.
Yes.
For an 8:30 a.m. meeting. What is that all about?
It was mind-blowing to see. You are official because we're sitting in a staff meeting, and you actually walked in. You weren't on time, but you walked in.
I was close.
Close. It was darn close.
It was 8:32.
It was closer than I thought you would be, but you were there pretty much for the outset and the entire meeting. I want to call you corporate, Nathan. You really weren't that. You were just yourself hanging out as we talked our content plan, which is what we do on Monday mornings. We all get the groups together, our content group together, and get PR together, and talk about how we're going to
people are looking for
one-on-ones. Information, one-on-ones.
People are looking for it. They might not always get them, but they're looking for them.
And they make those requests. Those meetings get spirited, don't they? They get heated. What do you mean we can't interview these guys? What do you mean,
man?
I can't sit down with the coach here every 5 minutes when I want to?
It's great. It was great. My first, actually, I would say, because, you know, when I worked for CBS, they're based in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And when I worked for Sirius, you know, working on Sirius XM NFL radio, you basically are kind of like, you do a conference call once a year or maybe twice, and that's pretty much it. So this is my first, this is my first office meeting that I've been a part of since I worked for McKinsey, which would have been back in 2001.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a run. That's 13 years before the last time that you did this kind of thing. I got to tell you, it's a and you and I have had these discussions.
Of course.
It's a transition. A couple of things. One, working for a club, just getting used to the whole idea of working for a club and being on the inner workings of the club, and the difference, the dramatic difference that has compared to doing media for outside, for mainstream, so-called mainstream. And every team, this is the trend in sports, primarily the NFL, ramping up its media efforts internally to provide that information as much from the team as you can get anywhere else. But it takes things like meetings, and there's structure, and there's all this stuff that you're not used to if you haven't been a part of this. And honestly, for me, when I came aboard the Browns, this is now season four for me, but when I started here, like you, having worked in that world of, for me, it was NFL.com, which, yes, has its headquarters at the time in Los Angeles, still is in Los Angeles, but I worked on the East Coast. I worked outside of Buffalo, New York. So your communications are mostly emails and texts and conference calls, maybe some FaceTiming here and there, but primarily, and I don't even think that technology existed when I was there. It's a different world when you're in the building. And like you said, you do this meeting today. There's some other meeting tomorrow, some other Thursday. And when you saw the list of all the meetings, you rolled your eyes, and so do I, because neither of us loves meetings. We don't love meetings. They're sometimes a necessary evil, but I think they're evil.
Yes.
I don't like meetings. I like meeting. We're sitting here meeting on the air.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. I'm a doer. I'm a doer of things.
Right.
I'd like to do
not
things.
Not a talker.
Yeah. But I guess I kind of am.
This is what we do all day.
We
talk. All right, O-line position for the Cleveland Browns, and kind of taking a big picture look at that before we really dive into it. I think the first takeaway I have is I feel better about this group than I have for multiple years. And understanding that there hasn't been a dramatic overhaul in personnel to make me feel that way, but here's what makes me feel that way. A couple of key things. Not only do I expect better from Joe Thomas and Alex Mack because they are consistency, they're right there at the top of their respective positions in the league. I think in Mack's case, maybe even more so because he comes off a Pro Bowl season. He's incentivized, I think, by the ability that he went out in the open market, got a really nice contract from Jacksonville that the Browns matched, knows how much he's wanted here. Yeah, that might have had some acrimony and back and forth, but ultimately I got the full impression that Mack is happy to continue to be a Brown and is bought into what this team is doing. But then you look at the improvement of Mitchell Schwartz. That really jumped out at me in the offseason. I thought that was such a huge development. A question mark at right tackle who I think is less – I'm not going to say he's a zero question mark, but he is far less of one than I think he had been previously.
I agree with that, and I think Mitchell Schwartz seems to be a good fit for this offense. I like him better, as you said, than most. I think you and I like him better than most people out there, and I think Mitchell Schwartz can be fine at that right tackle spot. To me, the excitement about this offense comes down to one scheme, which is the zone scheme, which I think fits the skill set of Alex Mack. I think he's the perfect center to play in that scheme.
Yes.
I think it also fits the skill set of Joe Thomas because he can just cut on the backside, and I think that's going to help him in his run blocking. And then the two words, Joel Bitonio. This kid, I think, is going to add that level of toughness, that mauler on the interior that this team is going to need, and I think Joel Bitonio is going to be huge. Now, his ankle, we know he had the high ankle sprain coming out of camp. He is expected to be full go for training camp, and as long as that's the case and there are no setbacks, I expect him to be a day one starter for this team and be a day one difference maker for this team on this offensive line, because let's face it, folks, this is going to be a team that's going to need to run the football. It's going to need to be able to control the line of scrimmage, use the zone blocking scheme, create running lanes for the one-cut runners, Ben Tate and Terrence West, to take advantage of for this team to be successful. This offensive line needs to be good, and I feel that it is good. You got the two Pro Bowlers in Thomas and Mack. I think you've got competent players, competent starters in Greco. Mitchell Schwartz, again, we like better than most. And then I think Bitonio is going to kind of come right in and be a very assertive, impactful player right out of the gate.
I think when you're a team that is going to emphasize the run as much as this team will and intends to do, it sets a really good mindset, does it not, for the offensive line? Ask any lineman, right? They believe that the core – that they're in control, the core of the essence of their being as offensive linemen starts with the ability to block for the run. And I think you gain confidence that way when you're successful. And that is something that this team has not seen in a long time, especially last year. It was a huge problem. It clearly had more to do with a lack of talent in the backfield than it did, I think, with the efforts up front. But I'm not going to hold those guys unaccountable for that. I think they have to bear their share of responsibility for a non-existent running game last year. But that said, with the additions that have been made to the backfield and Ben Tate and Terrence West especially, with a coordinator in Kyle Shanahan who's going to put that emphasis on the run as a foundation for everything else that happens offensively, it will make this O-line group better. Just that alone is going to elevate their mindset and their ability to handle it. And yes, there's a learning curve to this outside zone thing, to this vertical blocking that you have to do, lateral blocking that you have to do to set up vertical plays. But you're doing lateral blocking. You're getting defense in the mode of kind of taking it where it wants to go and opening up those gaps calling upon those running backs to make the one cut, to get to the hole, to burst through. But as a line, you're moving them, and then you're knocking them down. And right. I think that's what I love about the mindset that's going to develop here. You talk to any one of those guys I did through off-season workouts, they love this.
They love it, and I think what they like as well is the ability for guys like Alex Mack and Bitonio and John Greco, when they're lined up uncovered, their role is to double team quickly and then get to the second level. Give a quick hit on the double team and then go up there and get the linebacker. And I think it's going to take advantage of the mobility and quickness, especially of Mack and Betonio. And I think that's why they like it. I think the freedom that comes with this type of a scheme, it's actually a simple read for them when they know when they're lined up, what they're going to be doing right out of the gate. So I think that they do like it. I think they know that a lot of the success of this team is going to depend on their ability to create those lanes with their blocks for these running backs. And if they do that, this is going to be a very effective offense, as it has been everywhere Kyle Shanahan has gone. This offense has been able to run the football. And I think that's one of the big things and one of the big differences. Listen, as much as we all want the track meet, drop back, throw it, this is the AFC North. You're playing in Cleveland, not in a dome stadium. The fact of the matter is this team is going to win based on its ability to be a filthy defense and to be able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football. Ultimately, that's what is going to take for this team to win this season and be, you know, 8-8, 9-7, or, you know, we don't want to go too crazy and get excited beyond that. But to get there, that's what's going to have to happen. And this offensive line is going to be a big part of that, especially when you're bringing back two Pro Bowlers like Thomas and, of course, Mack, and you're adding a guy like Joel Betonio to the mix. You got to feel good about it and feel good about the fact that, as I said, the system suits the skill sets and athletic abilities of the guys you have now better than I think what last year's line was asked to do.
I don't think there's any question, and I don't think there's any question that last year's scheme put those players in more of a passive mode. They were catchers. They were kind of going back there, catching pass rushers, for sake of a better term, because play after play, they knew, and so did the opponent, how this team was going to attempt to move the football. And you were looking at a lot of deep drops by quarterbacks. You were looking at the need to hold your blocks longer. I think that affects the whole mindset of the group. And while I thought they were well coached, George Warhop is an outstanding offensive line coach. He's in Tampa right now. I don't think they were lacking good coaching from their position coach by any stretch of the imagination, but they were lacking a mindset, an aggressiveness, and a mentality of thinking that, hey, you got to get scrappy. You got to be tougher than the other guy. This is going to call that to the forefront. This is going to be, this approach is going to make that a necessity.
When you were on a team that led the league in pass attempts, that would routinely throw the ball on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, that's what that offense did last year.
Yep.
It's hard to get that nasty mentality because you're typically going backwards. You're going backwards as soon as the ball is snapped and getting into pass protection. This year, they are going to be running and running and running. They're going to be going forward. They're going to be nasty. They're going to be engaged. And I think it's going to help the overall flow of the line. I think in this league, it is very difficult to be completely one-dimensional, especially with a lack of a physicality to your running game. And the Browns didn't have that last year for a variety of reasons. You trade Trent Richardson, the talent level at running back was not there. The offensive scheme in terms of running ball, because Norv's had very effective running offenses in his day. Let's not say that Norv doesn't believe in that, but he played with what he thought was the best way to go last year, and I thought did a good job. But this year they are going to run the football. The guys know it. They know when it's 3rd and 1. They're going to, you know, they're going to get after it, blow off the line, and they're going to pick up that yard. So I think it's a different mentality for this offensive line group. They're in a position that is better for them to succeed. And you added a young, hungry hoss in Joel Betonio, who I think is certainly going to help this group out as they get ready to roll this season.
Yeah, I don't want to have it be misunderstood here that I'm suggesting Norv Turner can't have a successful running game going. And he's by the way, he's the
Emmett
offensive
Smith-Ledain time.
And he's the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, who got this guy named Adrian Peterson too, that I know he's not going to ignore as he runs that offense. But that all said, he worked with what he had, or mostly with what he didn't have. In talking with Norv all year, I always got the sense that if you looked in his pocket, he had duct tape in there. He was like piecing this thing together, and maybe some baling wires in the other pocket. It was a very, very crude approach to trying to make something happen offensively when at some point the effort to even try to run, they just gave up and put it all on, as you say, 3rd and 1, throw it, 4th and 1, throw it, deciding that that's your better option. And by the way, your better option was still, you were working with three different quarterbacks. You had no continuity,
none,
consistency there. So it was a mishmash all the way around. And to still have two Pro Bowl pass catchers emerge from that still blows my mind, as well as two offensive linemen emerge from that to the Pro Bowl, speaks volumes about, I guess, the job that Turner did to get to maximize it, but something was sacrificed in the process, and it was that toughness. And I think it permeates beyond the offensive line. Without getting too far down the road of psychobabble here, I honestly think that if you don't establish something in the way of a running game, or you don't believe you have to be tougher than the other team, impose your will, all that good stuff, if you're not doing that, then it shows up in other areas. It shows up in when you're holding a lead, right, to put your foot on the throat, to keep it down, keep the pedal to the metal, and really finish the job. This was a horrific finishing team last year. Defense had something to do with that as well, but it was not a tough-minded offense. I think that is something that is being built. We'll dive into, again, each position on the O-line, the depth on the O-line. Again, our Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day is that. Also, and we'll get into this pretty soon with you, Brian Hoyer was on Mike and Mike right here, of course, on ESPN Radio. On this station, I believe that interview was carried this morning here on 850 WKNR. So we've got cuts and highlights of that. We want to break that down for you. We'll go over those as well. I mentioned Gerard Cherry joining us at 2:30. Let's hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We're just getting the week started, the countdown to training camp. Nathan Zagura is a full-time employee here. This is a day to celebrate. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford.